Good evening, church. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening. We're thankful that we can come to you with a lesson this evening. Brother Bill Norman will have our lesson. I would have just a few things for the group that meets at Gregory Boulevard, just a few announcements. The first one is that Stacy Green had a good day today, and she will have her test tomorrow. Or the results of her test tomorrow will be after 7 o'clock. So she will know then whether she has had the virus. But Caden is now ill, so he's not doing very well at all this evening. We have Bailey Cove Hartman was born yesterday afternoon. And all is well. Drew and Angela, this is their third, I believe. So, anyway, they have their new baby girl. I talked to David Landis today, and he and Barbara had their coronavirus test, and they were both negative, thankfully. Leo Cunningham is still in the hospital. He has 3 cracked vertebrae in his back, and he will probably be moved. The plan is to move him to a rehab facility, and that'll probably be taking place in the next few days. We'd like to begin with a prayer this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today expressing our love to you through thy Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank you for hearing our prayers and supplications as we praise you for your merciful kindness and your goodness. You are our strength, our salvation. Please help us to walk undefiled before you all the days of our life and to keep your teachings with our whole heart. Help us to understand your word and to meditate on it. Help us to trust in your word and speak of it as a testimony to others of your being. As our God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and everything we see about us. We ask your blessing on the body at Gregory Boulevard and the church the world over. Those who have named Jesus the Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray your attention to the ill and the elderly of the congregation, and that you give us patience and the desire to serve them. Let us follow the example of our Lord and Savior and serve with a humble attitude and a gentle spirit. May our worship honor you and Jesus and edify the body of Christ. We thank you for all the many blessings you have given us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bill will now have a lesson for us.
To kind of set your mind at ease here a little bit this evening, those of you that have seen me for the first time in 2 or 3 weeks, you may think, well, Brother Bill's packed on a few pounds. But let me remind you that the camera adds 10 to 15 pounds. So that'll kind of set your mind at ease maybe about that. So, but it's good to be with you tonight and to stay connected in this way, which is not the same. I do not know of anybody personally in my sphere that has the coronavirus yet. I'm sure that there will be someone at some point, but do not know of anybody at this point, and we're very thankful for that. And there are several of our, which has already been mentioned, several of our group here in the metropolitan area that are nurses and are working in the hospitals, and we should remember them in our prayers at all times, as well as the doctors and other caregivers that are working during the time of this virus, and all the first responders and so forth. So I know that you do, but please continue to remember them in your prayers, if you would. I'm pleased to be with you tonight to share a few thoughts with you, but at the same time, this is somewhat daunting to think that this will be recorded and put out on the airwaves of the internet and go to distant places. Hello, Jim and Karen Green. It makes me want to think about just reading from the scriptures and limiting my comments tonight. And we'll try to do that, although we will have some comments on these scriptures, but we'll try to keep those to a minimum. You know, when we think about it, the Word is the best commentary on the Bible that there is. We can read scriptures, we can think about them, we can meditate on them, and then we can think of other scriptures that relate to that scripture and comment on that. And by doing that, and we take the Word as a whole, then we get a real good idea of what the Word is trying to say to us. That commentary of the Word is much better than what I would have for you. So we'll try to do that tonight, and I'd like to consider a Bible study with you. So if you're listening and watching tonight, please have your Bible handy if you would, because we're going to be looking at several scriptures. I don't know about you, but my patience is somewhat being tested by this virus, this crisis, this pandemic, this war, as it's been called by various authorities, and the various rules and instructions that we have, and social distancing, you know all about these things, not getting together with other people, etc. I'm not a gregarious person by nature. I'm somewhat reserved, and except when I can't, then I become much more gregarious. I think it's good for us to stay connected as we are tonight, which is good and necessary for us to do this, but it's not the same. I think you'll all agree with that. It is not the same as coming together in a congregation and fellowship and being together. But we can take advantage of the various social media that we have, and we all do that by phone, by text, by Facebook, etc., to stay connected. And we need to stay connected with each other during this time as best we can. And also, more important, I think, we need to stay connected to the Word to help us through this, because it is the Word that gives us the foundation and the comfort and strength that we need during times of trouble. So if you have your Bibles handy, we're going to look at several scriptures tonight. And as I said, we'll make some comments on these verses, but try to keep them to a minimum as well. I'd like to first turn over to Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 6, where Paul says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we know in this, when Paul was writing here, he had reference to the Old Testament scriptures, because the New Testament scriptures had not been put together yet at this time. But I think that now that we have the complete scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, I think you would all agree, and I would certainly agree, that all scripture, whether they are the Old Testament Paul referenced or the New Testament that we have today as well, that all scripture was written for our learning. And Paul says three things here that I would like to notice with you tonight: patience, comfort, and hope. Patience and comfort indicate that we're going to have trouble in our life, and we do. We all have trials, we all have temptations, things that come upon us. And the Scripture says that they are the source of our comfort, they are the source of our hope, and that by patience upon ourselves, we can have hope and we can have comfort through the Scriptures. So we need to have the patience to look to the Scriptures, so that we can have the comfort and hope that are contained therein. God is the God of all patience. God is the God of all consolation. He wants us to be like-minded, Paul says, with one another, and with one mind give God the glory for the blessings of hope and the comfort of the Scriptures in times of trouble and in times of trial. Next, I'd like to turn over with you to Romans, the 12th chapter, and I'll turn to these scriptures also. So if you're turning to them, it'll give you enough time to look at those as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." We can truly rejoice, and we all know this, that we can truly rejoice in our hope of heaven. And it is a great hope that we have to be able to realize that one day, through faith and obedience to God, that we have a hope of heaven, and we will be there, that we have patience in times of trouble and trials. And it's not easy sometimes. This is not an easy time for all of us at this time to be locked down, to not be able to assemble and come together as we should. And it is a time of trouble for us, and it does try our patience. And Paul says to continue instant, always in prayer, our great hope in times of trouble. Next, I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, with you. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now that's a lot of times Paul uses the word comfort there, and he's making a point that I think we can gain from looking at this. God, he says, is the Father of all mercies, and we know this, that God is the one from whom all mercy flows and grace. And he says that God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in times of tribulation, in times of trials, in times of trouble, so that we will be able then, being comforted by God, we will be able then to comfort others that are in trouble. So this is something that Paul says, that the comfort that we have received from God, we then can use that to help others that are in time of trouble as well. And it goes the other way as well. Some that have received comfort from God can help me or you in times of your trouble as well. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that we are all part of the body of Christ. And when one suffers, we all suffer. So Paul says, receive the comfort of God and pass it on. Pass it on to others as we have opportunity and as we have received the comfort of God. I'd like to turn with you now to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5. We'll look at the first 5 verses of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Paul lists some of the blessings that are ours by faith. He says, peace with God through Jesus Christ. And what a great blessing that is. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. Access to this grace wherein we stand. And again, what a great blessing this is, to be able to access the grace of God. If it weren't for the grace of God, you know, none of us could have a hope of heaven if it weren't for the grace of God, because we all sin, we all come short, but it is the grace of God that will allow us to take our stand before God and know that we will be judged righteous because of his grace. And we stand in that. And it is something that we can take our stand in that grace of God that we have. We rejoice in hope, Paul says, and in tribulations. So we're coming back to this again, tribulations and trials and trouble, knowing that tribulations work patience. Well, that's kind of what I'm seeing at this time of trouble, that it will work patience, although it's taken a while to work on me, because I'm not too patient with some of the things that we're going through right now. But tribulations do work patience if we'll let it. And patience works experience, and experience hope. And again, we come back to the thought of hope. This hope will not disappoint, Paul says, because the love of God has been poured out upon us by the Holy Spirit. And what a great blessing that is, to know that the love of God has been poured out, not just doled out a little bit here and a little bit there, but poured out upon us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to turn with you over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Paul leaves no doubt as to where this blessing comes from, and we know this as well. We are very well aware of where our blessings come from. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God the Father, from whom all blessings flow. We know that. We understand that. We need to keep that in the forefront of our mind, that all of these blessings come through Jesus Christ and through God the Father, who loved us, and we know this, that God loved us enough to give his only begotten Son for us, and has given us everlasting consolation. And when we read these scriptures, notice some of the words that are used by the Apostle Paul and the other writers. They're truly, truly uplifting when we think about it. Everlasting consolation. It's not going to go away. We can have everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, and he says, comfort your hearts and establish you in good word and works. And that is the call to all of us, that we be established to good word, speak good words, look at the good word, pass on the good word, and works as we have opportunity to do the things that God has called us to do. Turn back with me a few pages over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verses 8 through 11. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. Paul admonishes us to be sober, to be alert and aware to the things that we need to be doing, to the temptations and the things that are going on in the world about us. Be sober, be aware of those things, and the things that we need to do to please him, that he has asked us to do, to keep his commandments in all things. And Paul says, be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love. And those are the two foundational things that we need. And he mentions those because of that, because they are the foundational things, faith and love. And as a helmet, hope of salvation. Our hope of salvation we wear as a helmet to protect our thought processes, to make us think about our hope of salvation that God has promised to us. God has not appointed us to wrath. God has not appointed us to His wrath to be shown unto us, those that are doing His will. He has not appointed us to His wrath, but He has appointed us to obtain salvation through Christ who died for us. And Paul says, comfort one another with these comforting words. And that's what we want to do, is comfort one another with these words, the words that we are looking at tonight, that speaks of patience and hope and comfort. And we need to do that. And then Paul says, edify one another. And we don't want to leave that out either, because edifying one another is building each other up, strengthening each other, to help each and every one of us live a life that we should. And we do this together. And it is something that, as the body of Christ, we need to do together. We can't assemble the way we would like to tonight, and haven't been for 2 or 3 weeks. But our call is to be together, to edify each other, and to do this together. And we will be able to do that sometime before too long, hopefully. But in the meantime, we can do what we're doing tonight. Get together on the Facebook and share the Word of God with each other and edify one another. I'd like to turn over to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter 3, or 1, rather, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And again, as we read these words, I hope that you are thinking about some of these words that are so powerful that the writers use from time to time. By God, through Jesus, we have been begotten unto a lively hope. Not a dead hope, but we have a lively hope, a hope that is alive in each and every one of us as we think about the hope of heaven that we have. This is a lively hope. And to an inheritance, and again, this is something that we have to look forward to, and we're going to have an inheritance. We are the children of God now. We are going to be joint heirs with Christ in heaven. And we have that inheritance to look forward to. Incorruptible. And these are some of the words that I hope you think about and meditate on, whether not tonight, at some point as you're looking back at these scriptures maybe. Incorruptible. Cannot be corrupted. It is perfect. It is forever. It is undefiled. Cannot be defiled, and it is unfading. It will not fade away. It is not something that we have today, and 100 years from now will not be there. It will be unfading. It is unfading. And the way that we know this, Peter says, that all of these things are kept by the power of God. Turn back with me to Hebrews, just back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the rest, that wherein into the which entereth into that within the veil. By God's unfailing promise, and we've already looked at some scriptures tonight to talk about this, God's promises are sure, they are steadfast, they are unfailing. And the writer here says that we have a strong consolation of the hope that is set before us. It is a consolation, it is a hope that is set before us, and we have it. God's promise is unfailing in this. And this hope that we have, the writer says, is an anchor for our soul, sure and steadfast. What a blessing this is to have an anchor for our soul through the hope that is given to us. It is a hope that is sure, that is steadfast. Turn with me over to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 15 down through 23. 15 through 23, Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, in which he wrought in Christ, and he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus is full of his wishes for their continued faith and love. This was a theme of Paul in many of his writings, was to encourage churches to continue in the faith that they had received and the love that they were showing to the church and the brethren and to him and to others that they were supporting and preaching the gospel. And he says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened to know the hope of his calling. Now, that's a long sentence, but just take notice of what Paul is saying. And he prays that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that they would grow in this, and that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they might know the hope of his calling, to call to their minds, to strengthen them in this calling, that their understanding, this understanding of the word and the gospel that they have, that they would be able to gain more and more and more understanding and to be enlightened in this hope. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the greatness of his power to all who believe. And here again we have mentioned the power of God in bringing all of these things to bear. It is by the power of God that all of these things have come into existence. From before the foundation of the world, God had this plan in mind for the salvation of men. To all who believe, and that power was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power of God demonstrated that he raised Christ from the dead and set him on his own right hand. And we know from Acts chapter 1 that Christ ascended into heaven. Here Paul says that he has set him on his right hand, the right hand of God. Turn back with me down to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 2 through 11. Passages that are very familiar to all of us. Beginning in verse 2 down through verse 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. By the power of God, by the divine power of God, Jesus Christ was given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and has given those things to us. All things, not piecemeal, not a few things. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness for us through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory, through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have access to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, by which are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Again, I hope you will look at these words that are used by the Apostle Peter here. Exceeding great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we might have an opportunity to live our lives as best we can according to God's nature, that then we can be partakers in that way of the divine nature. Not that we will ever be perfect, not that we will ever be able to attain fully to the divine nature of God, but it is something that we strive for. It is something that we can be partakers of, the divine nature of God. And he says, besides all this, if that were not enough, Paul says, take care to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. And we've looked at this list many, many times and talked about these things that that we strive to do, that Peter tells us that besides all of the other things and the blessings that we have and the way that we are trying to do the best we can, here are some things. Take note of these things. Be careful. Be diligent. Be diligent to do these things. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, we will not be unfruitful. In other words, we will be fruitful if these things are in us and abounding in us. We will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we lack these things, we are blind and cannot see. And he says, rather give diligence to make our calling sure, in which we will be granted entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, look at those words. Meditate on them. Contemplate them. To make our calling sure. To make it sure in our minds. And by it we will be granted an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the everlasting kingdom It is a kingdom without end. It is an everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last passage with you tonight, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. These are verses we've looked at many times as well. We know them. We know them very well. But they are good for us to contemplate and think about as we are in this time of trouble and trials and times when we cannot be together. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. And we need to be rejoicing even though we are in times of trouble. Even though we are in a time of trial right now, we need to be rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And that is our great thing that we can do, to pray always in our mind, in our thoughts, have that in our hearts, to always look to God in prayer in times of troubles, in times of trials, and in times of blessing. We also look to God in all of those times without ceasing. In everything, Paul says, we talked about that, in everything, troubles, trials, good times, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the great benediction passages, we might say, that the Apostle Paul has penned here. Verse 23, that the very God of peace would sanctify you wholly, set you apart wholly for God's work, for God's purposes. And that's our calling, to do God's will. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and body and soul be preserved blameless. All of our being, our body, soul, and spirit, might be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses are all hopeful, they are all comforting, and they are all edifying as we consider these verses tonight. I hope these scriptures have given you some hope and comfort and renewed patience, which I need sometimes as I'm sitting around the house and I wish I could be doing this or I wish I could do that or I need to go here or I need to go there, and then I find out, well, best not to do that. So we need to have renewed patience in that regard, but we need to be connected to the Word and the Scriptures and take our comfort and our hope from the Scriptures. There are many more Scriptures that we could look at, of course, as we continue on this time of trouble, time of trials, as we try to stay connected as best we can through Facebook and other ways, the phone, text. And it is necessary that we do stay connected to each other at this time where we can't come together. It is until we are able to assemble again together. It is good to do this. It is not the same as congregating together and fellowshipping together and worshiping together. But hopefully we'll be able to do that for too much longer. So we'll leave these scriptures with you and hope that they have been good for you. I know they've been good for me to look at them and to renew my patience and to take note of the great hope and comfort of the Word of God that we can have. God is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all consolation and peace. And we have that in our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So continue as we as we are in this time, and as everybody's saying, we will get through this, and we will get through this together. And so we want to continue on to stay connected as best we can and hopefully be able to assemble before too much longer. I'd like to conclude with a prayer at this time, if we could, please. Kind and gracious Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. Father, when we contemplate your word and what it means to us, it is humbling that we know that you have given this word, that you have preserved it for us, that we can know of your will, that we can know of your ways, and that we can know that you are the God of all comfort, you are the God of all consolation, you are the God of all mercies, you are the God of all grace. These things, Father, comfort us and strengthen us in times of trouble that we have right now. We pray, Father, for those of our acquaintance that are on the front lines of the treatment of those that are ill with the coronavirus, and we pray for their continued safety, for their health, to be with their families, and we pray, Father, that you will just keep them safe in the hollow of your hand. We thank you, Father, for the health that we have, as far as we know, in our families and our brotherhood, that we are remaining healthy and safe, and we thank you, Father, for that. We pray that we will continue in that regard and that you would look down upon each and every one of us and bless us with your care and with your keeping this night. We pray, Father, that you would guide our footsteps, that we would order our lives and our footsteps after your word and your will, and that we always remain true and faithful to it, that we will not be distracted by the things in the world, but that we can remain strong, we can remain faithful. Keep us, Father, always near to you. Forgive us in those things that we do that are not pleasing to you and not right and according to your will. We pray, Father, that at the time of your coming again, that we will be faithful, that we will be accepted into your kingdom at that time. All these things, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.